edition of the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Matt Cause, and joining me is Mr. Duddy Kravitz himself, because it's all about owning land and owning real estate. It is Bob Mackowitz. How you doing, Bob?
Hi, Matthew. I'm feeling oddly like you today.
Yeah, so I don't even know this. I saw an email, and you said, I'm going to be a little bit late. I'm at the bank dealing with papers for the new condo. And I'm thinking, what new condo? What's going on?
Cause I have crossed the Rubicon over to your side. Mm-hmm. I'm about to own land.
Yeah.
Now,
you own land.
We have a house.
But you have a beautiful home.
A home that, or a property that we don't live in, mm-hmm. which is a weird place for me. There is a resort up north,
yep.
and they sell units, mm-hmm. and we bought a unit up there.
That's great.
Mostly for rental, mm-hmm. but also to use. You get like 7 weeks a year that you can use on your own, and you rent it the rest of the time.
Cottage country.
Cottage country.
Yeah.
So, Maddie, not only am I a condo owner now,
yes.
I am a cottage-ish owner.
Now, you know what you got to do here, Bob.
I have no idea. I have no idea how to do this.
Let me give you a couple little tips here.
Okay.
The first thing is when someone asks you, what are you doing this weekend? You could do cottaging, or you just say the cottage, and you leave it at that. The fewer words you use, the more of a dink you sound. So that is critical.
So for maximum arrogance, just cottaging. I think cottaging is worse than the cottage because it makes it sound like a...
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, lifestyle activity.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you're not a wine drinker, you're a sommelier.
Yeah, exactly. Or, we crushed some bottles last night. Or we're gonna nose through a ton of wine.
Oh, man.
I hate myself even saying those terms.
Yeah, I hate you now. Yeah. I can see why you feel that
congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. It is. I got a daughter who's 7 years old, and my wife and I had the conversation, as many of us do if you live in Toronto, and I imagine across the country, that you want to have a place outside of the city, but it's really hard in Toronto.
Yes.
You either have to drive quite far away,
mm-hmm.
or you got to pay crazy amounts of money.
Yeah.
For most of us, it's not a realistic option to think you can get something within 2.5 hours.
There's a third option, Bob.
What is that?
Condo
ownership?
No, which is, it's great. And actually, I remember you telling me before you were thinking about buying it. I didn't know it was official. And this is the route that I chose for my cottage, is to be born where your grandfather bought an island in the mid-40s for no money. That's how we did it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Where's our brains?
You screwed up, Bob.
Oh, come on.
And the thing is, I know what you're saying about the property. Like, when people ask, how expensive is your cottage, and we share an island with my cousins and my aunt, and da-da-da, I'm like, I don't know what it's worth because we would never sell it. Because if we did sell it, we couldn't afford to buy it.
This is the conundrum a lot of homeowners in Toronto have, where you say, I'd love to move, but then you say, but to go where? Like, you're lucky if it's a lateral move because of how expensive everything's become. I thought you would appreciate this before we get into all our sports today. So we're doing the financing at the bank, and within 30 seconds, the woman who's organizing the financing stops looking at me and just talks to my wife.
Yep.
She's talking to Sandra the whole time.
Yep.
And eventually she brings out a couple papers, and we have to sign something. We waive our right to do whatever, blah, blah, blah. And she looks and she goes, do you want to sign this too? I said, I can, but you see how this works.
Yeah. That is so true. That reminds me, I had the exact same experience when I bought my last car, which was in 06. And I went with my twin brother. And my brother, Josh, knows everything about cars. He's very handy. I'm the opposite. So the car dealer, we're going for a ride, me and my brother and car dealer testing out the car. And the dealer is talking to me for about a minute, and I'm glazed over, and I don't care.
I can already see it in your eyes, Matt. Yeah. You hear the baby elephant walk playing through your ears.
And I'm like, six-cylinder, eight-cylinder, I don't know. And so the dealer then just starts talking to my brother, Josh. And they were having a conversation, and I don't understand what they're saying. And every now and then, the dealer, he knows I'm the one who's going to be buying it. So I was like, he goes back to me to placate me with a simple question. So hey, Matt, so how's the handling? I'm like, that's good. I'm turning and the car's turning. It's doing its thing. So, yeah, I'm the same way.
I feel like the woman at the bank flattered us by using the plural pronoun every once in a while. How would you like to do this, but you meaning both of you.
Yeah, that's very clear, nice.
Yeah, it was very so. So Carla, thank you for preserving some of my dignity.
Well, congratulations, Bob.
So we got some takeaways and a top five coming up. Top five sports mustaches.
Yeah.
Should have written down who suggested this. Somebody suggested it from our Twitter feed. And I forgot to write down the name of this.
Let me see if I can, because I cut and paste a lot of the different ones, because in case we wanted to chat about some of the other things like hot dogs and cheesy wedding songs. No, I don't. We'll cut this later. We won't put this part in the podcast. That's not true. It's all going in.
We've never edited anything, Matt, because you don't know how to edit.
Actually, I do, but it would take me so long. And there would be a lot of trial and error with more error than trial.
And the big question this week could be contentious.
Yes.
Because it's about Donald Trump. And do we want our athletes to be political, or do we prefer them to be apolitical?
Yeah.
I find in this era of political anger that everyone has an opinion except for athletes. Like, they're conspicuous by their absence.
Well, it's changing. There's more and more now. And, you know, with Ferguson and with Trump, it's just more athletes are speaking out.
You know, I think that we'll get into
I
feel like the sports world is reluctant to dive in. And yeah. I got a couple of theories on that. But why don't we get into the takeaways, Matty? You were chomping at the bit to talk Jays.
Yeah, I got I want to start Jays. And this is just a simple one. The Jays, it is going to be very difficult with this team to root for them in the second half of the season, because the stakes aren't there. For the Jays to make the playoffs, they're going to have the winning percentage of the Dodgers or the Astros. They're going to have to go about 640 to get to 89 wins, which may or may not get you a wild card. Recently, it would get you at least the second one. And so you don't have these games matter so much because we're in the hunt. There's seven teams above them. So everything has to go right. And that's probably not going to happen because it's the oldest roster in baseball. Legs get tired in August. You know, there's been so many injury issues. And the other part is, what makes this also difficult, you don't have young building block player to look at. Now, you got Sanchez once a week, Stroman once a week, Osuna, maybe when there's a save situation. You know who the youngest infielder is, Bob?
The youngest infielder.
Youngest infielder.
I'm
going to
say Devin Travis.
Well, he's injured. He doesn't count.
And you mean like
currently playing. Okay. Currently playing. They don't even know when he's coming back. Ryan Goins, he's 29. You know who the youngest outfielder is?
We're not going like Dalton Pompey. We don't mean in the organization. We mean
currently playing.
All right. Give me the answer.
Kevin Pillar.
Is he really?
28.
How about that?
So that's the problem with the team is Justin Smoke's great, but he's 30, so the specter of regression's over your head. So in basketball, it's like, okay, I know our team stinks, but that guy there, 3 years from now, he could be a cornerstone piece. So my takeaway is the Jays are going to have a hard time selling interest.
It's a really good point about the young players, because even when the Yankees didn't, you know, perform right to the like a trade deadline, they started dumping players, but they started their call-ups.
Yeah.
And so Yankees fans last year were able to get a look at Gary Sanchez, a little bit at Aaron Judge, these players that you knew were going to be the building blocks of your future. And we don't have that. That's why 2019 is the year. Like, if we're going to do the Jays in six words, it would have to involve the date 2019, because that's where you really start looking at Vladdy Guerrero Jr., at Bo Bichette. Like, that's the real possible arrival time for these guys. And they represent the future of this club.
They do. And by the way, I'm glad you brought up those two names, Bob.
Why?
Because I'm going to give a little...
You got this weird, eerie, way too happy grin when I said that.
My notes are right there.
Okay.
Here's a little tip for all Jays listeners, for all baseball fans. When you hear the mainstream media dropping Bo Bichette or Vladimir Guerrero Jr. on a regular basis, or there's articles about them, that is a tip. That is them, the media, telling you they don't think the Jays have a chance. Because once you start focusing, and, you know, they mentioned about what the OPS is of Bichette in the Midwest League, and they mentioned, you know, Vladdy's hitting .316 in Lansing this year.
More walks than strikeouts.
After hitting just .271 in rookie ball, that's the little tip from the media to you, from the media saying they don't get a chance.
It's like when the Leafs a couple years back were all hyped on Willie Nylander.
Yeah.
And you almost heard more about how he was doing with the Marlies
than
what you heard what the big club was doing at the time. You're right. It's
the Peter Horchek year.
That is the ultimate signal that everyone is calling it a day on a season, is when you start looking at prospects who are 2 years away.
Mm-hmm.
What I find interesting is the Josh Donaldson conversation. Now, that's not a day-to-day interesting thing, but it's a fascinating one for this club to try and figure out. It's like the second law of thermodynamics, Matty, which suggests that all things go towards chaos. All things go towards entropy. Mm-hmm. You get past a certain point in the life of a ball player, and you don't expect things to get more orderly. You expect them to start falling apart.
Yes.
And he's gone over the hill of entropy right now. 31 years old. You can already see the defensive numbers are starting to fade. He has top dollar right now.
Yes.
How long do you sit on that, knowing that 2019 is probably your real year? And Stroman is better than I thought he would be. I actually did not think Stroman was going to be this good. So there is reason to be excited.
Yeah.
Just as you say, not, you know, in August.
Not on every day. And there's going to be many days of the week. And you're right. And the question about Donaldson is, does the team believe minor retooling gets them to a playoffs in 2018? If they don't believe that a simple retool, a rebuild on the fly gets you a legitimate playoffs in 2018, then you move Donaldson.
Second wild card makes this so much more complicated. This used to be an easier decision when there was only one wild card spot. Andrew Stoughton brought up a good point. He was writing an article. I can't remember for who. But
The Athletic.
Was it The Athletic?
Yep.
But he made a really good point, which is, you know, a team can play 500 and basically be in the hunt pretty late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think that the Jays are going to be...
They can't.
We'll see.
It's simple numbers.
Right.
When you look at
this
where
year.
They are. Yes, sorry, this year. Yes.
But for the retool that you talk about, mm-hmm. they really only need to be a 500 team while they're waiting for Vladdy, waiting for Bo.
Yes.
And they can be that. They've had bad luck with Sanchez. They've had bad luck with health.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily that bad.
If they were 500 in April, they'd be much more contending now.
They are not necessarily this bad.
Yeah.
Right. They put themselves in a big hole.
In the last game we saw them play, they lost 19-1.
Yeah, that was brutal. You know, the Astros just seem to have the dagger for us for some reason. Whenever we need a big loss, count on the Astros. The Astros and the Rays, and sometimes the Royals. I'll admit, though, I'm only watching intermittently at this point. How about mm-hmm. you?
Same thing.
Hard to really get excited on a day-to-day basis.
When Sanchez and Stroman are on the mound, better chance I'm going to watch. Otherwise, if I'm watching, it's because it's a light night in the world and I'm at home.
And it's the ESPYs otherwise.
Yeah.
You're going to get into the ESPYs a little bit later, but let me do a sports takeaway before
we
do that, because I don't think that the Raps had traded for C.J. Miles the last time we talked.
They did not.
We had not, right?
Nope.
Okay, so C.J. Miles, now part of the Raptors. That's part of a deal that sees Corey Joseph go to Indiana. And somehow, amazingly, Masai the Jedi, Masai the Magician, finds a way to get rid of the Damari Carroll contract to the Brooklyn Nets. So my takeaway from all this Raptors retooling is, I don't know if they are necessarily a better team, but he has found a way to not make them a worse team while hanging on to his core when a bunch of contracts lined up at the same time, and that can be a nightmare for a GM. So a lot of credit to Masai Ujiri that this team didn't have to take a big step backwards in order to go into next season.
Yeah.
And we'll see how C.J. Miles is. You know, honestly, there were so many bad small forwards for the Raptors. I have no faith in anybody.
No, none.
Like Rudy Gay, Joey Graham. Like, you could just roll out one after the other. There's been a lot of stinkers at the three spot.
Man, Joey Graham was athletic.
Oh, he dunk.
Before the game started, he was great.
Is there any sign at the NBA draft that something's not going to work out more than when they say the word athletic first?
Yeah.
He's athletic.
Yeah, it's
needs to work on his game, but he can jump out of the gym.
Hey, as long as he could develop a jump shot, he could be a good player. Oh, thank you.
If he could dribble past as well as he jumps.
That's a good point about Masai, is that we don't know if the team is better, but they're not worse. And what they are right now is still more flexible. They get the full mid-level exemption, and I'm going to say that sentence, and then I'm going to move on because I don't fully know what that means.
I don't
know
what you're talking about. I feel like you just said six-cylinder versus eight-cylinder.
Yeah.
Matt, ask me how this segment is handling.
Yeah, how's it handling, Bob?
Feels good.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Yeah, exactly. But I do know this. They have very good, flexible salary cap that they did not have before by getting rid of Damari Carroll, and you could get rid of Corey Joseph. He regressed a little bit last year. DeLon Wright's ready, or it seems ready, to have that role. So Masai Ujiri did a really nice job.
Did you feel like Damari Carroll by the end had that Greg Oden thing when you watch a guy on the court and you get angry at how not healthy he is?
Yes.
And it's not even the guy's fault necessarily.
No.
You just look at him, you say, you look old and slow to me.
Yep.
And there's that horrible part in our lizard brains where we blame people for their weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like as a Raptors follower, I was starting to get that to Damari. And I didn't like that about myself because he's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
Winning community awards.
Yes.
Fun, interesting.
Just don't have him on the court.
What'd you think about his exit comments when he got traded and he started talking about how the team didn't want to play a team concept as they had in Atlanta?
A bunch of thoughts. One, the
sour grapes?
Very much sour grapes. Absolutely sour grapes. That doesn't mean it's wrong.
Right.
The message and the messenger are two different things. The messenger is sour grapes. And my thing to Damari Carroll, you're professional. Yeah, you got a role you didn't like. Could have been better in that role. But he's also right.
He's probably right, Matt.
He is right. Of course he is. But even that has tentacles. Yes. Late in games, especially big games, especially in playoff games, I would watch it. I would chart the last 2 or 3 minutes. How many passes would there be? And there'd be none. It'd be DeRozan or Lowry holding on to the ball for 18, 19 seconds. Maybe they would flip it to the other guy, and that's it.
But then who would they flip it to, if not to each other? See, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
How can you blame those guys if Patrick Patterson's not hitting his threes? Once you've traded Terrence Ross and he's not on the floor, you're kind of hoping that, you know, Ibaka is going to hit.
There's one,
but Ibaka's not a floor spacer that
yes,
way.
There's one counter to this.
What's
and
that?
I don't have an answer. This is just the reason why that maybe they you can put the blame on DeRozan and Lowry. Is that if the other guys aren't being used throughout the game, then they get disengaged. Fair or unfair, and maybe they should have a higher level of professionalism. But a lot of players, if they know they're not getting the ball, they start to stand, you start to get lethargic, you lose your rhythm. If the ball is touching you and you're getting more shots, I think you're a better player. If DeRozan was a better passer, and if Lowry was a more willing passer, and those are two very different things, then maybe the Pattersons, the Carrolls of the world would have been better shooters, but I don't have an answer if that's true or not.
That's a really good point. Matt, feel free to express any confusion when I make this comparison, but those two guys, DeRozan and Lowry, remind me of Robert and Aiden.
Who's Robert and Aiden?
Good question.
Thanks.
So when I used to play for the Holy Family Flames and the Catholic Youth Organization, my hockey team when I was a kid,
yep.
I used to be always paired up with these two kids, Robert and Aiden, and they were best friends.
Yep.
And they played all the time. They went to the same school. And whenever I was on a line with them, I thought, Jesus, if this thing just like, if there isn't a turnover, I'm not touching this thing.
I'm Zach Hyman. I don't even know
That's exactly what I was going to say, Matt. I was the Zach Hyman of the CYO. My job was simply puck retrieval and don't turn the thing over. And so when two guys like each other and trust each other and don't trust anybody else, it is pretty easy to shut an offense down.
Yeah. So there's no easy answer, but I think here's the thing. In the end, they're going to have to change the offense because come the playoffs, that ISO offense worked great in the regular season. 48, 49, 56, close to 50 wins with injuries last year, except for one thing. Their offensive efficiency, as good as it was in the regular season, come the playoffs, they were always 13th out of 16th, 12th out of 16th. And this accounts for pace of play. They just weren't a very good offense in the playoffs, so the ISO stuff is not going to work.
Do we have time for a quick observation about basketball before we move on to your next takeaway?
Yeah.
I am shocked to discover how fascinated I am by Summer League basketball right now. And I think we could just rename Summer League the Lonzo Ball Invitational.
Yes.
Do you not find you are glued to this kid and the LA Lakers right now?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the terrible first game he had, or then he comes back, and I think what did he have, 36 last night, 8-11?
He had a triple-double in his second game after the 1-for-11 shooting in the first one. Absolutely. You know what, to me, the most interesting thing about Lonzo Ball?
Is it the fact that LeBron James was scouting him at the game last night?
Nope, that's number two. Because you have the LeBron James speculation eventually going to L.A. I'm trying to avoid it because, oh, my God, that's all American media was.
Yeah, I'm not going to avoid it.
Until Aaron Judge knocked that out, it was all LeBron. No, to me, I have something I found a little more fun. Is that Lonzo Ball was not wearing his shoes. He was wearing Nikes.
Was he really?
Yes.
He wasn't wearing the big ballers?
Because I don't think those big baller shoes are good physically for your ankle, your shin splints, things like that.
So wait a minute. He started his own shoe line and he's not wearing his own shoes?
No. And by the way, which one's the son? Which one's the father?
The father is LeVar.
Okay. So yes, Lonzo Ball. Yeah. Lonzo Ball
at
the last game was not wearing his shoes because I think he realizes, hey, these might be nice, flashy shoes on the street, but on the court, I got to wear Nike.
Can I make an official announcement right here?
Yeah.
Well, actually, maybe two. One is I'm never going to wear big baller shoes.
Okay.
I'm a Jordans man.
Yep.
I was born a Jordan man, and I'll die a Jordan man.
That's the difference between you and me, Bob. I've always been a big brawler, big baller brand guy. I remember as a kid, I had LeVar Ball's poster up as he was beating Michael Jordan game of one-on-one.
Or at least he said he could.
Yeah.
I want to know the official announcement, maybe the biggest announcement in the history of Macko and Collins.
Woo, here
possibly,
we go.
Possibly, here we go. Is my new official Western Conference team is the Lakers. Because at the end of this season,
I know,
they are going to be LBJ, mm-hmm. Paul George,
yep.
Lonzo Ball, mm-hmm. Dwayne Wade is a free agent, mm-hmm. and Boogie's ticket is coming up.
Uh-huh.
So how would you like to see LeBron, George, Boogie, Lonzo Ball? John Wall's number's up too, but I just can't see how him and Ball would play together. But come on.
You are a coward?
And by the way, Russell Westbrook's number is coming up too. So
I know
they're all going to go to LA. I am not a coward.
Matt, you're not getting
I'm
early.
The guy who bought property the day after the prime lending rate went up.
No.
Okay, I'm not going to make that mistake again. I am getting in early.
Well, first off, I mean, I've heard this from a bunch of people. So there's already people on board, but there's still room. But you know who you are, Bob?
What am I?
Well, you joined this team. You're the Kevin Durant of basketball fans. Hey! Where's the best team? That's my team now.
Speaking of which,
why don't you be a Nuggets fan? There you go.
What, Paul Millsap?
Yeah, you can root for Paul Millsap. You could be the Western Conference
Emmanuel Mudiay just has to turn his shot around, and this team could really be something. No, Matt, I have been too faithful too long.
Mm-hmm.
Bills enthusiast.
Yep,
my Raptors have never made it to out of the conference final.
Mm-hmm.
Leafs have never won in my lifetime.
All right.
Put the Jays aside. Why can't I be promiscuous? Why can't I sleep around a little bit with some teams? Why can't I just go out?
You can, Bob, but here's the thing.
And I want to wear something floozy. I want this to be my Halloween, and I want to be sexy fan.
What you're saying makes complete sense. And I've actually said in the past, sometimes rooting for your team is a real dumb sucker's move. But by going to the Lakers, it's such a stereotype. You know who you are, Bob?
Who am I? I thought I was Kevin Durant.
Yeah, you're Kevin Durant. You're also many other. You're Kevin Durant. You're also the 45-year-old, you know, junior VP who starts sleeping around with his secretary. I mean, because going to the Lakers, it's so predictable. Because you want to be a little slutty. Oop, I want to be a little promiscuous, see what else is out there. And you're picking the Lakers because you know LeBron and Paul George and everyone's going there.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for them to go there.
Yeah.
I'm feathering the bed right now. I guess this would be...
You know who you are then?
No, who am I?
Okay, oh, my God.
So I've been junior VP. Yeah. I've been Kevin Durant. Who else am I?
Okay, I know he's passed away now. What was Celine Dion's husband's name?
Oh, Rene Ange, whatever. Something or other.
You're him, because in all the stories, we didn't get together until she was 21. But he was her manager when she was 15. That lecherous old man was waiting over this teenage girl to eventually, you know, become legal before he pounced. And that's you, Bob. Right now, the Lakers are the young ingenue, and you're just waiting in the rafters. And then LeBron comes, which will be the sign of, oh, legal now, and now you'll be a Laker fan.
Can I go back to being Kevin Durant?
Yeah, you really should. That was a horrible one by me.
I'm
sorry.
That was creepy. That was so creepy.
It was creepy.
Oh, man. Not only that, not only was it just generally gross, but you threw salt on the man's grave.
Yeah. I'm not wrong, though.
I didn't say you were wrong. Yeah. I just said it was wrong of you to do it, which is not the same thing.
Anytime you see those stories of, he was her manager, but they didn't start dating until she was 21. Mm-hmm.
I don't think Natalie Portman is unattractive, which is a conversation that comes up more often than you'd think in my home.
Okay.
And Sandra, my wife, is still convinced that Natalie Portman is Natalie Portman of The Professional.
Oh, we're going down a dark road here.
No,
Bob.
No. All I'm saying is she refers to her in that context. So yeah, I guess we are going down a pretty dark road here.
Richard Sherman.
Moving on.
At the ESPYs.
Bob is Kevin Durant.
We'll go with that, yeah. And I think of those three people I gave you to be, we'd all pick Kevin Durant.
Not at the ESPYs last night.
No. I hope it was a work. When he had
I thought it was a work.
I hope it is. If it's a work, that's great. Otherwise, Kevin Durant, relax.
Because he had wrestling angry face on.
Yeah. But if he did, then good for him, because he maintained.
By the way, Peyton Manning was pretty funny, though.
We'll debate that.
Oh, here we go.
Fine.
Is this an Eli Manning thing with
you
again?
No. If Peyton Manning is one of the most talented guys in that sort of field. But I want to get to Richard Sherman. He was being interviewed by Jalen Rose, you know, on July 1st. NBA free agents agreed to deals totaling $1 billion in the first 24 hours. And Jalen Rose wondered about the NFL contracts, and, you know, how Richard Sherman felt about this, and should this lead to maybe labor unrest? Richard Sherman said, 100%, if we want, as the NFL, as a union, to get anything done, players have to be willing to strike. That's the thing that guys need to 100% realize. You're going to have to miss games. You're going to have to lose some money if you're willing to make the point, because that's how MLB and NBA got it done. They missed games. They struck. They flexed every bit of power they had, and it was awesome. It worked out for them. Now, he's right. He's 100% right. And I understand why he's saying this, you know, because the physical toll on their bodies, far more sacrifice than in the NBA. And they don't get paid nearly as much money.
And they don't have guaranteed contracts beyond their signing bonuses.
Yeah, but now those signing bonuses are getting to be more and more of
the
money.
Big, but the point is they can be cut, and there's no other sport where you can do that of the big four.
No, and in a sport that is so physical, it makes it a double whammy against the players. I agree. There are five players on the court. In the NFL, there are 11. There's a roster of 53. There's a roster in the NBA of, what is it, 12? So when you talk about your salary compared to the NBA, do the numbers, Richard. You're the smart fellow that went to Stanford. It's not comparable.
Okay, but it is kind of. Why can't a QB, who is probably the single most important athlete on any team, you can maybe make the argument goalie, but I don't think a goalie is even as important as a quarterback.
Quarterback's the most important.
And you, so how could you really cap their salaries at any point? Really, they should have like carte blanche to get whatever.
Oh,
they can
if
get.
You want, if you want to get rid of cap, that's fine. But you can't look as an NFL player and say I deserve NBA money because
it's the NFL. It's the biggest league in the world,
and here's
or at least in North America. I can't say that. I don't know if it's bigger than EPL.
No,
or
no,
not,
I don't think it is. But here's the thing: when Michael Jordan retired, the conversation was, when are we going to get the next Michael? Where's the next Michael?
Right.
When Larry and Magic Johnson, where are we going to find the next of those two? And then it got us to Jordan. Then Jordan was gone, and we're sort of in the hinterland. Then came Kobe. Then came LeBron. And then the conversation is going to be, where's the next LeBron? Where's the next Kobe?
This is not true. I know where you're going with this, but think about quarterbacks and the quarterback conversation.
It doesn't matter.
We talk about Peyton. We talk about Brady. Now,
and it
who's
doesn't
the inheritor to Brady?
No,
but
maybe
it's Russell Wilson, and he's going to make a ton of bank.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot make the argument that there aren't players on an NFL team that are as impactful.
The NBA is the only star-driven league. In the NFL, when Joe Montana...
That's a choice, though. That is a choice
but it's
by the NFL because they're
five.
Trying to keep them artificially held
it's
down.
It's the most popular sport. The thing is, with fans, we love the game. With basketball, because there's only five guys, part of it's just the nature of the game.
You're right, and there's offense and there's defense.
Yes.
Look, you're absolutely
and
right.
There's
more focus on one guy.
There's 22 starting players in the NFL. So when Joe Montana retired, we moved on. When Brett Favre retired, we easily moved on. We didn't go, who's the next Brett Favre? Because there's 17 other storylines.
That is so not true, Maddie. That is so not true. We are already talking about who is going to inherit the title from Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger.
No, we're not. No, we're not talking about
it. Of course we are.
No, we're not.
Well, no, we're partially not talking about
it
because
we
have those guys.
We're talking about Dak Prescott, who won the ESPY for the best newcomer. And we're talking about Cam Newton. And we're talking about Matt Ryan. There is always the next set of stars. Yes, we're going to miss those true incandescent great players.
You just made the point in the NBA there's always the next set of stars. Look, I know where you're going with this.
No, but there's a lull.
I get where you're going with this.
There was a lull after Jordan before LeBron. And there's always the worry in the NBA playoffs. Uh-oh, you better have the stars in the final. You don't have that as much in the NFL. Uh-oh. I mean, it's there, but nowhere near the same level.
Not to keep reiterating the same point. You do have that anxiety. It's just it's about one position. It's either you have the quarterback or you don't.
Hey, Bob, how much did the NFL hurt without Calvin Johnson? 2%? 1% maybe? Adrian Peterson missed a year. I don't remember people going, I love the NFL. I just need more Adrian Peterson. No, it's only about 7 quarterbacks. And there's always the next 7 quarterbacks.
Yeah. Look, I know the point you're making, and I think you are right to a degree.
Which is why NBA players should get more money. They're more stars than any other sport.
But I think you can also make the case that NFL players go through a lot more. Their bodies are destroyed.
Oh, we're not talking about fair. I'm not talking about fair.
But why can't Richard Sherman talk about fair?
He can.
Well, then why is he an idiot for doing exactly that?
He's a fool because it's a different sport, different math, different perception.
No, but like
also,
you said, there is a version of fair that's applicable to his sport. Mm-hmm. And why is he not allowed to go and chase that?
Here's another thing for the NFL. The average career is 3.3 years. Now you're going to ask players to get rid of 35% of their career wiped out if they miss a year. And if you make one Pro Bowl, you're going to have a career of 11 years. And for the Pro Bowl players, I get it. You guys can sit out. You can miss 10% of your ability to earn transcendent money.
It is always hard to ask guys, particularly non-stars, to sacrifice their salaries because you work so hard to get to that point. I get it. But isn't your stat about how long an average NFL career is more reason why these guys should have more rights and make more cash and have more guarantees?
Oh, I agree with you on all those points. So they should.
You dodged my question.
I didn't dodge your question.
When I asked you, why can't Richard Sherman fight for his version of fair? Why does that make him a fool?
It's a fool to compare his salary with NBA players. It is a different sport. It's a different star system. And just on pure numbers, the rosters are so incredibly smaller. Hey, listen,
The TV numbers and the ad revenues.
Oh, it's great.
And the book.
I hope they strike. Go miss a year. Get rid of have all guaranteed contracts and get and every player gets $30 million. I am all for it. I'm not against
it. What did Joe Flacco sign for?
It was like $22-23 million a year.
Over how many years?
Like 5-6 years. At least 6-7 years. And the Ravens have had one winning record since he signed that deal.
Right, but my point is that kind of is close to basketball money in a lot of ways. Like maybe not with the Supermax when you got guys now who are pushing $200 million under the current CBA.
DeMar DeRozan will make more money than any quarterback will.
Right, and that is ridiculous, right?
It's a different sport. In the NBA ecosystem, it works.
We're hitting that point where we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Yes, and do
but
you
I'm more willing to fight for the fairness on the part of the NFL
Did I
players.
Say anything that I said the NFL was fair? At any point did I say the NFL is fair?
No,
I didn't.
But you also said that it's foolish to compare the two. But if yes. you're an athlete, why wouldn't you compare the two? Like if you were an actor, why wouldn't you look at what other actors are getting and say, well, I should get that much money?
All right, let's go with that then. That'd be like someone on Broadway saying, I should get what that guy who makes a movie on Hollywood.
Okay, while that is a clever attempt at a comparison.
They're two different sports.
But they're not that different, Matt. And the cash is bigger in the NFL.
The cash is
it's
bigger.
It's not exactly now off Broadway compared to a Spider-Man movie.
Now divide it with 53 players with only 16 games and only 8 home games versus 12 players
yeah,
and
but
41 home games.
Yeah, but look at the TV revenues that
of course,
are generated.
It's much
right?
higher than
so,
the NFL.
Like, what do you think it is? Butts and seats? Or do you think of the fact that it's ESPN and CBS and NBC writing over massive
a ton of money.
Multi-year checks?
Hey, the players deserve more in the NFL. That's a different conversation. That's not one I'm having.
So let's have that one another time.
Yeah.
Around the same time, we have my theory that the NHL hates its fans. Fair to say? I have a quick takeaway
That's
here.
The Matt Damon of the Jimmy Kimmel world.
We're going to get to that one a little later in the show. I want to talk about Sunday. My takeaway actually isn't a takeaway. It's actually a project ahead. Mm-hmm. Because Sunday could be the greatest day in TV history. Or it might be a total washout and disappointment.
Go for it.
Roger Federer may be playing for his 19th Grand Slam.
He's going to win it, Bob. We all know.
We
it.
Don't know. No, no, no.
Yeah,
don't,
we
don't,
do. Federer's stop, got it won. Who's he got? Who's he got?
Berdych and probably Cilic after that.
Berdych
just stop.
And Cilic.
No, don't. Don't.
Just all right. Sorry. Didn't mean to jinx it.
Yeah. Noonan. Do you have that athlete that makes you more nervous than happy? I think it's more an individual sport thing because you can kind of... Like in a team, you can kind of hide a stinker, but...
Eli Manning.
Okay.
He makes me pretty nervous.
Okay, fair enough. Well, my Eli Manning then would be Roger Federer because I want him to win so badly. Mm-hmm. And there's so much at stake. Nadal's barking at his heels. He's got 15. He'll probably play 10 more French Opens and we'll win them. I love Roger. And if he wins this 19th, it just gives him a greater claim to being the greatest men's tennis player of all time. And I need him to win this. Emotionally, I need it. I can't explain why, Matt. It's a weird thing. So I'm more nervous about this than I am happy to follow it.
Two thoughts. Okay. And then we'll get to the rest of the TV stuff on Sunday. One, you were rooting for Federer over Raonic, I'm assuming.
Oh, geez, not even close.
All right.
As my daughter said to me, how many has Milos won? I said, none. She said, why do you like him?
And second, you know Milos Raonic is? He's the Toronto Raptors. A lot of wins, never win a championship.
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually. And he has made it to a conference final. He actually made it to a final, in fairness. So he's a little ahead of them. And his favorite sport is the Raptors. No, I love Roger. To me, he's like Roy Halladay plus.
Yep.
Just, you know, it's pretty hard to have an old-fashioned sports hero anymore. But he's just a good old-fashioned sports hero. So you've got that. And then in the evening...
Game of Thrones.
Season 7 begins.
Yeah.
And I'm nervous about it, Matt. Because I've loved the first 6 so much,
mm-hmm.
but I have a feeling like it's hard to keep that level of excellence going. Ask the Walking Dead fans how long you can keep it going. Eventually, remember I talked about Josh Donaldson, the laws of entropy?
Yep.
Eventually, things revert to chaos.
Are you worried that season 7 could Phantom Menace you?
Oh, no. Don't even say it. What if there's like a Jar Jar Binks character? No, they wouldn't do it.
Thankfully, we know one thing. There won't be any Shia LaBeouf as he ruined Indiana Jones. You're not going to see him.
That's an excellent
wrong
point.
Wrong cast in Game of Thrones.
The tricky part is now landing the plane if you're the showrunners, right? Because you've got all these amazing storylines.
Yep.
But if they don't converge in some meaningful way, you feel let down.
Yeah.
And that's almost not even fair because they created a whole world. But they've been building towards some kind of epic showdown.
Yeah.
And if it ain't, I know it'll be epic. But if it's nonsensical,
yeah,
or it feels too rushed, or, you know, the greatest sin they could commit is trying to tie storylines together now in a kind of an artificial way where it's like, really?
I just want Daenerys and Jon Snow riding on a dragon, killing the White Walkers.
Right.
I just want a whole season of them just laying waste to the White, which again, of course, would be emotionally and intellectually bankrupt.
Do you find that you barely remember any of their names anymore?
I don't know any of their names.
I can't remember their names.
I don't know any one of their names. I forget half the storylines, but I have this ability not to care. Like my girlfriend, she needs to know everything that's going on. What's going on? Who's
this?
It's
like you got to write a cheat sheet.
Yeah.
They should have programs. Well, I guess it's called the internet. But anyway, continue.
I can float like a leaf and just on the lazy river, watch the episode, and I go, wait, what's going on? And I'm like, nope, don't worry about it. Just keep watching. I can do that with Game of Thrones because I think you need to.
Do you remember when Derwin Sherwood killed Queen Sheba?
Nope.
Nope. Nah. No. I just made those up. But it could have happened.
I thought you were being serious.
But that's my point. Is it could have. You don't even care anymore. There's about four or five characters you follow religiously, and everybody else is just sort of there to make evil or be killed.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, yeah, that's a nice little appetizer.
Is Jon Snow really that good looking?
I don't think he is. I saw him on Kimmel with the glasses on. I'm like, didn't work for me.
You know, he goes out with Rose Leslie in real life.
Oh, that's the girl that that he was with.
Right, the wild thing.
Yeah, and then she liked him because he went down on her, and apparently that was like the first time that ever happened. Many jokes there. But yes, Sunday night's going to be delightful.
It's either going to be the best day of TV or one of the worst.
Yeah.
Cost, you got any more takeaways? Because there's something I want to bring up with you before we do.
No. We can get to top five big question.
How long do we have? Because we got to wrap up in under an hour.
We are at 36 and a half minutes.
Okay. Well, we got our top five sports mustaches coming up. We still want to do our Trump talk for the big question.
Mm-hmm.
Can I make an observation, though?
Yeah.
This was brought to my attention by Buffalo Phil, who is a regular listener of the podcast.
Shout out to Buffalo Phil.
That today is National French Fry Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking about, and of course they found me online.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit, I feel like I got profiled, but okay. So here's my question for you. Which fast food chain makes the best French fries?
I'm going to first start. I hate when people do that. I don't go to fast food. It's like the people that say, I don't watch television. Like, shut up. I'm going McDonald's.
It's so McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Why is McDonald's? Like, I would have McDonald's versus the field. In fact, you know what? If you've actually listened this far, congrats to you. MCOS56er at Bob Mackowitz. McDonald's versus the field. Who makes the best fries in the
fast
food world?
You know, part of it is McDonald's are identifiable. I know them. In fact, yesterday I was filling in on Overdrive, and one of the producers had a thing of McDonald's French fries. He's like, they're cold. I'm like, I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
I'm taking a bunch of them. Like, I couldn't tell you a Harvey's French fry. I could not describe a Burger King French fry.
You want to hear something even scarier, Matt? Is if you were blindfolded and someone brought them in, by the smell alone,
I would know
right away. You could identify them at 20 paces.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's that. For some reason, salt tastes saltier when it's on a McDonald's. Do they have special salt? Is it like Himalayan salt or something?
And I'm sure somehow it's destroying the rainforest, their salt. I don't know what it is, but it's doing some bad work in South America.
And I don't know why this is, Matt, but this is a universal truism. When you take the fries out of the bag, and then before you throw the bag away and you look in, and there's still a couple fries down there.
Oh, you're getting those fries.
And they're the best fries of them all. And they're already cold and congealed by that.
Doesn't matter.
But it's still the best fries.
Bob, much like the Marines, we don't leave one man behind. But but it's a great point.
French fry down.
Yeah. There's Kurt Hartnett. Or not Kurt, Josh Hartnett. That was a Hartnett. But it's a good point about the blindfold. You could put every other French fry in front of me. I'm like, all right, that's good.
Sure.
But there's only one that I really know, and it's McDonald's.
So shall we get to the top five, buddy?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like the best way to do this is you give your top five, and then I, do my thing.
Sure. That works. And this one's a little bit more of a fun one. This one isn't the same gusto as, celebrities who died who still had much
more
to give.
Wait a minute. You're trying to justify the integrity of our top five list, Matt. We talked about fruit.
Okay. Oh, and fruit deserves a lot of time. My boss, Jeff McDonald, one day on air, it's like, again with the fruit cause, always with the fruit talk. Produce is important to me, Bob.
Have we done fruit? I can't even remember. We're at nine now. I'm at the point now where I'm forgetting things we've done. So.
All right, so
top five sports mustaches.
Yes, coming in at number five, going off the board a little bit. The fake mustache worn by Bobby Valentine when he got booted from a game and then he put on the fake mustache.
I'm going to give that 10 checks.
Number four, time and place, it fit perfectly. Mike Ditka. The perfect mustache for him. It worked for his face. It worked for that city. It worked for, just who he was. And it translated nicely to Saturday Night Live. Number three, I needed dirty. I needed a dirty mustache. You find me a dirtier mustache than Larry Bird. Maybe the ugliest Hall of Famer in the history of sports. He was an ugly man. And that mustache was ugly. And number two, I need some Fu Manchu. Joe Willie Namath. In the peak of the sexual revolution. I mean, that guy was right place, right time as well. The big Fu Manchu. And coming in at number one, it's obvious. And by the way, apologies to Lanny McDonald. I am apologies to Lanny McDonald and Hulk Hogan. I'm sorry. But number one, I'm going to go Dennis Eckersley. Because that mustache intimidated me as a Jays fan in 1992 until Robbie Alomar hit the second greatest home run in the history of the Blue Jays behind Ed Sprague. Dennis Eckersley, number one.
I actually, Matt, this is amazing. Mm. And this has never happened before.
Yeah.
We have absolutely
what?
Opposite lists.
Oh,
like,
do we?
No crossovers.
Oh, great, good.
No, you thought we were going to say it's the same thing?
That would be.
No, we have absolutely none the same.
Good, good.
All right,
glad.
So I don't dislike your choices, but I'm going to throw out some things that you missed. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with Lanny McDonald, who actually is my number one.
Of course.
Come on. That's the stash of the ages. Matt, it's
I knew
like he
it
has a
yours.
Sleeping rodent
I know,
on his
Bob.
Face.
I knew it would be on your list.
And
I
you know I loved
off.
Lanny.
Yeah.
Number seven.
Mm-hmm.
Cried when they traded him. Mm-hmm. Can't believe it. Some other ones that you might have wanted to consider. Mike Ditka's a good one. I would have gone the extra step and said Andy Reid.
Uh-huh.
Andy Reid looks like he owns a hardware store, and he doesn't apologize for the things he eats.
He looks like a walrus.
Like 100%. He looks like, they call him the walrus.
Yeah, like that man is going to be harpooned in Kansas
when
City.
When he was in Philadelphia, what are the odds that he had a cheesesteak every hour on the hour?
Oh, yeah. And there was some for the afternoon.
Exactly, the duster.
Yeah.
100%. When you get to crazy, by the way, relievers should have their own category because there's 1,000.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like you talked about the scary Dennis Eckersley, which was good, but Goose Gossage.
Of course.
He had the crazy handlebar mustache going. But you got to go with Raleigh Fingers.
Yep.
Raleigh Fingers had the twirly mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Had you ever seen that before? And as a kid, did you not wish you could grow facial hair so you could have the Raleigh Fingers twisting the edge of your mustache?
Bob, every time I was tying a damsel in distress to the railroad,
it is the
I always
whiplash.
Wish I had that mustache.
Dave Steeb, which is an odd pick, but Dave Steeb had the tightly manicured angry mustache.
Yep, just like him.
Right, and he was such a tightly wound guy. He was constantly adjusting himself. He was angry at the press all the time. And his mustache, normally a mustache is a sign of generosity, and you don't take yourself too seriously, or you're a good-natured, manly Marlboro man type guy.
Yep.
But somehow Dave Steeb had a mustache that said,
"What are you looking at?"
Exactly. What's it to you?
Yeah.
And last one is Wendell Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Because Wendell Clark, as a teenager coming into the NHL, had the mustache going. And somehow he just looked like a 43-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Even though he's in the early 20s. And I think it's because he had the prairie mustache. The one that, like, kids grow. And then all of a sudden, like, you go from not being able to buy beer to suddenly looking like you have a mortgage.
Yeah.
So Wendell Clark has the... Yeah. The out of high school mustache.
I'm glad we don't have any the same. I'm glad we're able to represent 10 different mustaches. And you're right. By the way, almost all those ones you mentioned were my also-rans. Also, apologies to Richard Petty, Keith Hernandez, and Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh, Keith Hernandez is a really good one.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question for you before I move on to the Trump big question.
Yeah.
Should I shave my mustache?
No.
You think I should keep it?
Yeah.
Okay. Should we?
What does Sandra think? That's the most important
thing.
She's
got so many other things to worry about.
Fair. Because in the end, like, you know, when I shave, a lot of times it's because my girlfriend says shave, because what do I care? I don't see my face. There's not many mirrors in here. So, you know.
Actually, I don't think you have any mirrors in your house, do you?
No.
That's kind of odd for a narcissist like yourself. Yeah, you have no mirrors.
I'm not a narcissist about my physical aesthetic, about so many other things.
Okay, hang on a second. So I'm looking around Matt's home, and we should probably do a tour of it one day, but yeah. I see 12 bottles of wine.
Yeah.
Big thing of corks.
Yeah.
Another thing of empty corks. Yeah. Another thing of empty corks. Another thing of empty corks.
Books about
pictures
wine.
Of something that looks like a vineyard. Another picture of a thing that looks like a vineyard.
Yeah.
So is it just that you love booze too? Do you love booze more than you love yourself?
It's a tight race. That's a big question. What do I love more, me or the fermented grape known as wine?
What is it you love to say again? Thank you, Lord, for the blood of your son. It is delicious.
Yes. Thanks, Jesus.
Shall we get to the big question, buddy boy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to set it up or shall I?
Yeah, set it up.
All right. So big question. We always try to tackle something that way too engaged a conversation, and we couldn't do it back in the day. We had a radio show, but now we can do it because we have a podcast. This one I've been reluctant to do because I'm afraid that we're going to yell at each other.
Of course we're not.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. There's so much yelling connected to this topic, though, and it comes back to politics and whether or not athletes should be apolitical. Do you prefer them when they're apolitical? We live in a very angry time, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go 30 seconds in any direction without seeing someone mad at someone. Do we like the idea that athletes in this age of anger and political contention tend to be apolitical?
Some days I don't want them to be political. Some days I just want to enjoy the sports, because often athletes will say things like, we need to open a dialogue. We need to have a dialogue. And it doesn't go anywhere. What does that mean, open a dialogue? The ESPYs last year, Wade, LeBron, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony at the ESPYs. Everyone's going, what a great moment. No, it wasn't. You basically said we need to curb police violence. We need to have respect for police. Eh. But in the end, if the athlete has something to say, I want him to say it. I want her to say it. I like having different voices, different opinions, even if I don't always agree with it. Even if sometimes an athlete will take a political stance and they don't really fully research it, they don't always need to. So in the end, I have no problem at all with them being political, because I can divide it. I can divide me enjoying them and whatever they say.
I find that the sports media isn't generally left-leaning until somebody from the right wing comes out and espouses their view. And then everybody circles to castigate that person. You see this all the time whenever someone takes a particularly conservative stance.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost don't want to know what people think. I know that that's a bit of a cop-out.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about Roger Federer on the way over here on my hour and 15 minute streetcar ride of hell through downtown Toronto today. But what if he came out and his political views completely were different than mine?
Would that affect, interesting question.
Yeah. I asked myself, would it affect how much I admire this guy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't admire him because he represents my particular point of view. That's more for an Ali. Mm-hmm. That's more of a Roberto Clemente. But I just look at Roger as the excellence of execution.
Yes.
But if he came out and said that, you know, I'm completely in support of the travel ban.
Yes.
And I wanted to see the EPA demolished the way that President Trump wants it. Would I look at? I think the answer is yeah. And does that make me open-minded or close-minded? That I would turn my back on an athlete who I admire so much.
I think close-minded in the sense that when you hear the one sentence that I'm glad that America walked away from the Paris Accord, you can look at that and go, oh, you're a climate denier, Trump, Republican, all big business, da-da-da-da-da. But to have a full assessment, you'd have to have a full conversation. Why are you against it? Is it because the Paris Accord actually doesn't hold countries fully responsible, that's more on a voluntary basis?
Which was the argument against the Kyoto Accord, according to some camps, was not that this isn't an important thing to accomplish, but that this Accord won't accomplish it.
Yes. That's kind of, that's my thing is that, you know, you hear and someone has an opinion that's say right wing, and then you go, oh, well then I have an idea who they are in their totality. And that sometimes is the mistake. You know, some people voted for Trump because they were afraid and they were feeling left out, not just not by Democrats or Republicans. They just felt like they were left out. So they were scared. And, you know, I don't think it was the best vote to vote for Trump because in the end, Hillary was more accomplished. And I like meritocracy. Maybe they voted because they were scared. So I'm not going to cascade all people that vote for Trump as a bunch of racist xenophobes.
See, this is an interesting point because in today's sport, people come from all over North America. You know, and you see this in baseball a lot. I remember one time when we used to do Off the Record, we had Todd Jones, the old, you know, reliever from the Detroit Tigers, an all-star reliever. He was on the same show as P. Diddy.
Yep.
And it was total culture clash. Like, one guy looked like he was, you know, he loved talking about bass fishing, and Diddy was walking around like a, you know,
like Diddy,
a burgeoning hip-hop mogul. And you could see that there was just a disconnect. Now you take this to the locker room, and a football locker room is composed of all different kinds of people from all different sorts of backgrounds.
Oh, absolutely.
I got to believe that some guy is in a locker and three or four lockers down is a guy who believes the exact opposite as him politically.
Yes. And in the end...
The point I wanted to make is, does that mean we're allowed to have certain beliefs about why the guy who supported Trump... I get so confused by this because I think most people vote for Trump because they just like their taxes cut.
Yeah.
And he represents conservative thinking. And for most people, they almost
sort of
they ignore the other stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're more worried about their cash than some of the ugliness that goes with it. I don't condone that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's total BS. But it is possible that you could support Trump and not be a total racist. You're just infatuated with your money. And you don't care who gets hurt as long as you get as much cash as you can. I'm not above judging that.
Yeah.
But I'm not ready to paint all Trump supporters as members of white supremacist groups.
Yes. Yeah, so some or ridiculous alt-right or anything like that. Getting back to specifics, I love what Colin Kaepernick. I loved everything that he did. I love the fact now and just how much he's giving the community and all the charity. And I get confused when there is all the vitriol towards him. That to me is like, that's what I want. If every athlete was like Colin Kaepernick and they did it on the left or the right, if they did it where they came from not an agenda of hate, but an agenda of I see the world and I want to make the world better, then I love it. I would love all of it. Now, what I wonder about is if an athlete came out and said, I wanted to fund Planned Parenthood, or I think that, you know, abortion is evil and, you know, it's against God's wishes.
Which I believe there are probably tons of athletes in every locker.
I think
remember we had this conversation about Tim Tebow?
Yes, Tim Tebow, I think it gets blacklisted. Part of it's because, you know why Tim Tebow got blacklisted by teams? Same reason Michael Sam, a distraction. And then from there, it goes to different reasons. I think, you know, some teams or, you know, media.
Well, not the same reason, but the same end result that his particular, whatever he brings to the table causes.
Also, Tebow is a better football player than Sam. But, you know, I think players, if you go too much on either side, you're going to get alienated by certain owners, by sponsors. And, you know, it's unfair, but it's just. You know,
well, it's curious to see what athletes have to lose by speaking out, because there is so much anger right now around every topic.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that, you know, the Republicans won. There's obviously a wide base of people out there who hold this very dear to them. And athletes are very aware that they don't want to alienate themselves from their own teammates, from their bosses, and from their fans. And so becoming apolitical, I've always had a hard time with people that say you have to use your platform if you've got it. It always seems like it's very easy to say of other people.
Yes.
You know, like, you're rich, you're famous, you're in the public eye, you owe it to me to represent my point of view. And, you know, I don't know if that's true.
It's not always the case. It's not always the case.
Personal choice.
Yes,
Not everybody's suited to that sort of thing. Yeah. In the end, you vote with your money more than your mouth anyway.
And your money and your ballot. Yeah, and
your
money represents your family. Like, vote for by your money.
And the causes you choose to support, things like that. I'm just fascinated now how, when you look at the late 60s, which was a period of great athlete activism.
Yep.
And how much good came out of that engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And how much danger was faced by the people who did it. Are we? Is it fair to expect any less of certain individuals now, though, or do we diminish the value of athletes in our age if they don't take that challenge? I know I'm kind of contradicting what I just said, but I honestly think, like,
well, it's a hard issue.
It's a hard issue.
It's a hard issue to have one, just one focused opinion.
Well, and that's why I say, like, I don't think it's for everybody. It's not that. But if nobody takes up this challenge, can we look at this and say, well, it's kind of a dead ball era then, ethically speaking?
The problem is that, you know, you look at Kaepernick, and I think
he must have scared the living hell out of so many athletes.
Yeah.
A reasonably decent NFL quarterback.
Yes.
I mean, shut out by the league.
Yeah. And the only negatives he did was wearing socks that had pigs on them and, you know, calling cops pigs or wearing like a Castro T-shirt. That's it. If you want to talk about slip ups, if you want. And I'm not even saying you have to define.
Well, and Greg Hardy gets a second chance, or any number of guys who are proven in a court of law to have hit women. And you can forgive that more than you can an anti-police stance. That's a hell of a statement.
The Kaepernick one I found really disappointing. We only got a couple minutes.
What are we down to?
55. We're at 55 minutes.
Oh, geez, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we needed more time to do this one.
Here's a question for you.
Okay.
Connor McDavid says Justin Trudeau was right for the apology and the money given to Omar Khadr.
Oh, boy.
Sidney Crosby says that is an insult towards veterans. And the fact that Khadr is free should be more than enough. And he's no longer in jail and he's back in Canada. Of those two guys, if they both said that, who gets more heat?
I would say Connor.
70% of people were not a fan of what Justin Trudeau did. That, to me, would be an interesting one.
That's a fascinating one. Maddie, I love that you threw that out there. My final thought on this Trump thing is, well, obviously, we can't resolve that.
I was hoping we're going to resolve all of it. Damn it.
Yeah, all of it. Damn it.
Sorry, listeners.
Where's our brains? But I do, as much of a cop-out as this is, I kind of like the fact that there is a bit of a neutral space for people to hang out. And if that's going to be sports, that's great.
Yeah.
It's also kind of comic book movies. But there's got to be a spot where you can go and not be buffeted by anger,
yes,
or else we're all going to blow up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why, you know, we've talked about this before. So I'm always fine with a fan that says, I just want to watch sports. I'm dealing with politics and life everywhere else. Can I have this? At the same time, that same fan, I get it. But that same fan shouldn't yell and scream when someone is political.
If that space allows you then to continue the better fight in other parts of your life, great. If it's a representation that you just don't want to deal with anything, that's not so good.
Great point.
So shall we wrap it up? What are we going to talk about next week?
Ooh, next week we are in the true dog days. It is...
We're going to talk about Josh Donaldson and the Jays. Who are you kidding? We talked about it today,
and
we're going to talk about it again on next Thursday.
Yeah, it's going to be that next Thursday, and it'll probably be a little bit more... We're going to be hitting the heat of non-sports topics as well.
So true. Maybe we'll do some movie stuff. Maybe we'll do an entire Ask Matt and Bob.
Yeah. I'm collecting. I'm keeping all the questions. And for everyone who sent top fives that we didn't do, we might use them in future top fives, or we just might use them as listener questions about, you know, Yager, Jacksonville Jaguars, John Hughes, Looney Tunes, dogs, and cheesy wedding songs. That's all going to come up soon.
I leave you with this thought on the cusp of season 7 of Game of Thrones. I read a really interesting article. I'll tweet it out about how porn stars all love Cersei Lannister. She is like the patron saint of porn stars.
That makes sense.
It really does.
Is it safe for work or not safe for work?
I don't remember it. I think it was like Vanity Fair. So I think mostly. I don't think it was illustrated. I'll put it to you that way.
Okay. Bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.